many of you have probably heard that I did write a book on premarital counseling called Tying the Knot. You probably have also heard that they're out of it at the bookstore. So that means that you can either get it at Amazon or you can call back later after the conference. I asked Amy about it and she said, well, somebody bought 100 of them last week. So before the conference, somebody decided to do that, and that's why there were not as many available now. So anyway, that's the deal. Okay, let's talk about premarital counseling. And there's a lot of different views on this. You know, some churches don't do anything. Some churches have a class where couples take, and they do it together, and then off they go to get married. Some give couples the assignment of speaking with an older couple in the church and find out whatever worked for them. Some, of course, do premarital counseling, at least in some form. In the midst of this varied landscape, I want to advocate for personal meetings as part of your premarital counseling strategy. You can have other things. You can have classes. That's great for disseminating information. But it's not as good for addressing the issues that need to be handled before people decide to say I do. So there's a few reasons why I am advocating personal mentoring in addition to any class that you decide to offer. One is they're beneficial to the mentors. If you're asking, especially for those of you who are leading ministries, how do I train the next group? Well, this is a great way to do it. And this is an easy way to do it, isn't it? This is a chance to train leaders. And instead of giving them like the nastiest case in the whole church, which depresses them and encourages them not to do counseling ever again, you're giving them a nice softball for them to enjoy. That doesn't mean premarital counseling is always easy, but it means that it's often positive. Another reason is it's beneficial to the couple. So I can train leaders, I can encourage people to get involved, and I also give some benefit to the couple that I'm working with. There are some things they're not going to share in a class. That's just not going to come up. If they have a class and the facilitator of that class starts asking questions, they're just not going to reveal some things. Now, maybe they won't reveal them in a personal meeting, but it's much more likely to do so in an individual conversation than it is outside. And every now and then, you have to have those meetings in order to address some real things that could be problems. I have, on occasion, asked the soon-to-be husband for lunch as a result of a premarital counseling session, and I've said to him, you know, we just need to have a conversation man-to-man. And your fiance isn't going to be here for this, but we need to have this conversation. Or I might say to the girl, you need to have a conversation with my wife or one of our female counselors because you need to address something that needs to be handled before you get married. We don't want to burden your husband with that issue when it could be handled right here, right now, in advance. He can be part of the solution later, but this needs to be addressed before you get married. Those are hard things to do if you're not individually meeting, having a relationship that supports that kind of conversation. Then personal meetings can accomplish something that classes can't, and that is ongoing relationship. Think about what happens if the couple struggles 3 months later or 6 months later. What happens if they have a challenge on their honeymoon? Paul Tripp loves to tell the story of a person who actually called the night of their wedding. And he said, congratulations, you figured this out much earlier than most do. There's no way you're going to get that if you don't have a good relationship with the couple at a personal level. Now, I hope to convince you that not only are personal conversations important, but then here's a bit of a structure. And what I think about structure is that it lays out a framework that I can then adjust as needed. So I'm going to talk about 8 or 9 sessions that you would have with a premarital couple, but it may be that one of the sessions leads to 4 more sessions about that particular subject. Again, the only way you're going to know that is some personal conversations or their willingness to say it. So I start off the first meeting with some warm, fuzzy softballs that they can crank out of the park. For example, I'll ask the guy, you know, there are like 3 billion girls on the planet. That's a lot of girls. Why her? Now, in my judgment, that's not a trick question. I mean, this is like a perfect setup. It's on a tee. You get to talk about how awesome and wonderful she is right off the bat. Then I'm going to turn to her, and I'm going to ask the exact same question. There are 3 billion guys on the planet. Why do you want this one? And, of course, if we have a good relationship, that might even be a joke. And everybody laughs, and then she gets to say how wonderful he is. And I often go to a passage in Mark 12 to talk about this. It's really interesting in Mark chapter 12. It's not really a passage about marriage per se, but the text asks the question or answers the question of how long does a marriage last anyway? And Jesus says that we're not going to be married in heaven. We're going to be like the angels. We're not going to be married in heaven. So here's what I tell the couples that I'm meeting with. Guess what? This is so cool. That means marriage is for now. How exciting is that? You get to live in the sin-cursed world with another person to enjoy the blessings and to grieve the hardships. In heaven, you don't have any grieving to do. There's no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears. We just get to enjoy all that God has designed for us in heaven. So marriage isn't for heaven. Marriage is for now. And therefore, I don't know about you, but I want to have as much fun in marriage as possible. If it's only going to last for here, then I want to enjoy every minute of it. And you know, some of my counselors are like, yeah, that's right. Yeah, let's do that. So it sets a very positive picture. All right, so I'm saying, why is it you want to marry this person? Of all the people that are available, here's your chance to just talk about how wonderful your fiancé is. And then just looking at a very simple passage of scripture that reminds us that marriage is for now. And therefore, we have the privilege of a gift that God has given to endure the challenges and blessings of life in a sin-cursed world. How cool is that? Wasn't God so kind to give us marriage for here and now? That they can then rejoice in that. Then we get to week number 2, and that changes things. Because I want to talk about Jesus as the center of your life. In other words, I don't want to talk about their marriage. In fact, I'm going to say that your marriage is not first about your marriage. Marriage is an outflowing of your relationship with the Lord. And if your relationship with the Lord as individuals is good, then you have the opportunity to enjoy your relationship with the Lord together. Now you get to experience all of the blessings that God has designed marriage to include. But what that means is I need to love the Lord with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind. So I want to talk to my counselors about what would motivate them to do that. If we're going to get married and we're going to agree that Jesus has to be first, and that's the only way that really the marriage is going to experience all the blessings that God has for it anyway. If Jesus is going to be first, then what would motivate us to love him with all our heart, soul, and mind? And of course, I'm going to ask the question, but I'm just going to lay out a couple of ideas that I will talk about if they don't. That Jesus died for them, that Jesus gave them a new identity in Christ, that he provides all the spiritual resources that they need to love, to serve, and to give. And so Christ has provided what they need. So they're free to give, free to serve, free to love. I remind my counselees, especially since they just told me why they want to get married, I say, guess what? God is giving you the opportunity to serve someone else more